Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. And once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions this evening will be taken from the old King James Version of the Bible. And as I welcome you all to this episode tonight, again, I am pleased because we are still in the book of Psalms. And you know the book of Psalms, I consider, will expose us to the most beautiful verses that are written in our Bible. And it is worthy to note that King David did not write all of the Psalms that are written in our Bible. He only wrote 73 of the 150. 12 were written by Asaph. 2 were written by Solomon, or at least ascribed to Solomon. 1 was written by Moses. 1 was written by Ethan. And 12 were written by the sons of Korah. Now, I highly suggest that as we continue, that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops, tablets, your Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Now, every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, as I like to consider it, where you may ask questions or comment or inquire, if you like, in our chat rooms, and the host will accommodate you. Now, before we get started, as I always do, I want to personally take this time to thank all of you who have given me instructions and comments and advice on this particular program. I am so thankful to you, my precious brothers and sisters. I am using them all. Now, as our theme song for the show suggests, the question for this hour is, again, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? Now, the Spirit of God said to the church at Ephesus, he that overcometh shall eat of the tree of life that is in the midst of the paradise of God. The promise is that if you will overcome, you will overcome. If you keep God's commandments and you will eat of the fruit in the midst of the paradise of God. The Spirit again says to the church at Smyrna, he that overcometh shall not be hurt by the second death. This is in Revelation chapter 2, verse 11. The first instruction I gave was in Revelation 2, chapter or verse 7, and this is Revelation 2, verse 11. And the promise is that if you overcome, keeping God's commandments, that you will not be hurt by the second death. And you know that second death, my precious brothers and sisters, is the spiritual death. because we all will be hurt by the first death, which is the physical death. But that's the promise. Now, the Spirit again says to the church at Pergamos, he that overcometh shall eat of the hidden manna and will be given a white stone with a new name written therein that only he shall know. That's taken from Revelations chapter 2, verse 17. And still again, we're looking at you, the promise, if you overcome, that you will eat of the hidden manna. And that hidden manna, my precious brothers and sisters, I submit to you, are the gifts and fruits of God that's given through the Holy Spirit. The question is again, for this hour, are you standing on God's promises? Now, before we get started, I always remind you, I know that you are aware of this, but it is like Peter said, to put you in remembrance, to rehearse it as often as I can, that all of our lessons or all of what is written in the Bible is written in code, meaning it's written in mysteries, in secrets, in parables, in prophecies, in proverbs, in paradoxes, in riddles, and in symbols. And the only way to break the code is through study and learning. And that's why we're here tonight, study and to learn. Okay, let's go to the study. All right, turn with me, if you will, to Psalms. We're going to be looking at Psalms 99 tonight, verse 6 through 8. And a quick reminder, there are 152 chapters in the book of Psalms. And I have written 232 instructions, and we are on instruction number 136. Go with me, if you will, to Psalms 99, and we're going to look at verse 6 through 8. And as I read these verses to you, I would like for you to keep in mind that this is the instruction of 136 that I want you to pay attention to. Call upon the name of the Lord God. This is what David is rehearsing to Israel in this psalm, that we must call upon the name of the Lord our God. Now, let me tell you something. Paul also identified this in the book of Romans. Paul said that he that calls upon the name of the Lord God shall be saved. But how can you call if you have not heard? Or if you have not believed? And how can you believe if you have not heard? And how can you hear if a preacher does not preach or a teacher teach? And how can a preacher preach or a teacher teach if they have not been sent? For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, this is what David told Israel. Verse 6, Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among them that called upon his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them, spake unto them in a cloudy pillar. They kept his testimonies and the ordinances that he gave them. That is crucial, that you keep the word of God. That means the basic instructions before leaving earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible, is full of all that we need to know in order to get our response from God if we call upon him. Now let's go to our New Testament complement. We're going to look at the book of James. We're going to look at James chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. James chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. And this is how James tells us to call upon the Lord today. Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war. Ye have not because ye have not asked. That means you have not called upon the Lord. Ye ask and receive not because you ask amiss that ye may consume it upon your lust. That is where we have to be careful, my precious brothers and sisters, that we must call upon the name of the Lord, but we must call upon the name of the Lord correctly in order to receive what we ask for. And he has promised us. Jesus talks about it. The Apostle John talks about it, that he will answer us if we call upon him correctly. And this is what we should do spiritually. I see we're at a pause. So what we're going to do is break for a pause, then we'll continue with the lesson.
Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and suffer the loss of his soul? A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. If any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and everyone who humbles himself will be exalted. And know that I am with you always, yes, to the end of time. When you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, you will save it. Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place. I have told you these things, so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, calling upon the name of the Lord God, we are looking at that instruction, and we know if you're keeping his commandments, if you're following Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, what it tells us in there what to do, what thus saith the Lord God, what the words of the Son's kingdom and patience say, and what the Scripture says, we are going to be calling upon his name correctly. And we,
see, brother, it doesn't matter what you're going through.
And
all right? Sometimes there are trials.
This is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. In our lives, Isaiah says it on this wise. Isaiah says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot be saved, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But, my brothers and sisters, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. That is what keeps us from not receiving our calling effectively because of our sins. And that's what I want you to understand from this instruction. Now let's go to the next instruction. Turn back with me, if you will, to Psalms 100. And in Psalms 100, we're going to be reading of three verses, verse 1, 2, and 4. And this is what I want you to take from when I read the verses to you. I want you to keep in mind, this is the instruction I want you to pay attention to as I read the three verses. This is how you serve the Lord God with gladness. My brothers and sisters, we need to serve the Lord our God with gladness. Jesus said, the Father seeketh true worshipers to worship him in spirit and in truth. And in that spirit of worship and praise, there has to be gladness and joy. And this is what the psalmist says. Again, David wrote this, and he rehearsed it to Israel. This is what it says. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. So singing has part of that show of gladness. Verse 4 completes the thought. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his court with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. That is so significant. Now let us turn to our New Testament compliment, and we're going to see what Jesus says today about serving the Lord with gladness. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 22. We're going to look at verse 37, and we're going to conclude with verse 40. And this is how Jesus says today we should serve the Lord. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. My precious brothers and sisters, that is telling us that love is ultimate. In fact, that's the instruction that I want you to get from this particular reading, that how you serve the Lord your God with gladness, you love the Lord your God. And this is the love that you love him with. It's called agape love. And we know that agape love is God love or spiritual love. It is not physical love. And what I'm going to do is take you to Paul, because Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 or 13, verse 4 through 8, this is how Paul identifies that glad love. This is what Paul said. Love suffers long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself. Love is not puffed up. Love doeth not behave itself unseemly. Love seeketh not her own. Love is not easily provoked. Love thinketh no evil. Love rejoiceth not in iniquity, but love rejoiceth in the truth. Love beareth all things. Love believeth all things. Love hopeth all things. Love endureth all things. Love never faileth. My precious brothers and sisters, because God is love. That is what I want you to understand and take from this serving the Lord. You serve him with love. Amen. Now let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go back to Psalms 101. We're going to look at verse 2 through 8. Psalms 101, verse 2 through 8. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. 14 actions to perform for the Lord God. These are at least 14 demonstrations that David gave to Israel to practice in order to please God. And this is what Psalms 101, verse 2 through 8 says. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. That's one. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. That's two. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Three. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. My eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me, that they may walk in it, we may walk together in a perfect way, and we will serve one another. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. And I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all the wicked doers from the city of the Lord. My brothers and sisters, those are 14 ways that we can perform that will please the Lord. And now before we continue the instruction, it's time for a break.
You've got a right to resist God, to reject God. But the Bible says, in spite of our rebellion and rejection, God loves you. He loves you so much that he gave his son to die for your sins. And when Christ died on that cross, we don't understand all that happened on that cross. But we know one thing, that he took the hell and the judgment that you deserved and I deserved because of our sins. He took it on that cross. And that's why that terrible expression comes from his lips. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because you see, the very meaning of hell is separation from God. And in that terrible moment, a shadow passed between God the Father and God the Son for the first time since eternity began. Christ dying for you, and he suffered the pangs of hell.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let us complete this instruction 138, 14 actions to perform for the Lord God, and we know what David taught Israel, and now let's hear what the New Testament has to compare and agree with by telling us more. This is what Paul wrote to the Corinthians, chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, and then we're going to read verse 7 through 11, and this is what you pay attention to, because today, again, I mentioned earlier, we worship God in spirit and in truth. So first is our spiritual application that's going to please God, and then our physical application will be initiated by the Spirit, and that's how we do physical things like pray and sing. And we also feed the hungry and give drink to the thirsty, and we take care of the poor and the like. This is what Paul says. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. And this is how we perform those spiritual gifts that will please the Lord. And we do the spiritual first. This is what verse 7 says. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. And this is significant. It is given to every man these gifts. So these gifts are within us. But of course, they're not activated to the extent that is needed to please God until we are born again and we have the indwelling. Verse 8 says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. Now listen, my brothers and sisters, but all of these worketh that one and the same self-Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. That is key for us to understand, that all of these gifts and fruit, or all of these gifts, are not given to us corporately or publicly, except as willed by the Holy Spirit. So not all of us will be able to heal or to do miracles or talk in tongues. Not all of us will be able to do that unless the Spirit gives you that to do. Now, this is critical, and the reason it is critical is because a lot of us are running around thinking that we are lacking because we don't have some of these spiritual gifts to perform. Now, let me tell you, my precious brothers and sisters, that I believe that personally and privately, you can have all of those spiritual gifts to use for God. But corporately and publicly, you can only use those that have been given to you through the Holy Spirit. That's what you should understand from this. And this should is what I want you to know spiritually about this, that basic instructions before leaving earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible, is filled with many acts that will please God. This is only one that is identified by Paul. There are many others. Remember, Paul identifies the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. And we know that other writers have identified fruit, and even Jesus has identified fruit and gifts of God that will please him. And that's what I want you to understand from this particular instruction, that we look at the spiritual gifts first. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go to instruction number 39, and we're going to go to Psalms 102, verse 1 through 8 and 17 through 20. And in this particular instruction, as I read the verses to you, keep this in mind. This is the instruction, a prayer before giving up. That, I think, is so significant. And David rehearsed this to Israel. There are many prayers, but this is the prayer that David gave at this particular time in Psalms 102, before you give up. And this is what he said to the Israelites. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come before unto thee. Hide not thy face from me in the day. When I am in trouble, incline thy ear unto me. In the day when I call, answer me speedily. For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones burn as in a heap. My spirit, my heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. By reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin. I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I am like an owl of the desert. I watch, and I am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. My enemies reproach me all day, and they that are mad against me are sworn against me. Now, this is reasons for giving up that David is rehearsing, and we are not to give up. In 17 through 20, he completes the thought by saying, he will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. This shall be written for the generations to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord's name. For he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death. So David is telling us that it doesn't matter what you do, you can still call out to the Lord God before you give up. That doesn't mean you're not going to be held accountable for whatever you have done. But the soul is what Jesus came to save, and that's key, that God will not refute the repentance of any sinner. Now we're going to go to our New Testament compliment. We're going to turn with me, and we're going to go to John chapter 17, and we're going to see how Jesus compares and agrees. He kind of reiterates, this is today's call. Before you give up, this is today's prayer. And Jesus teaches us this in the prayer that he gave for us. He said in John 17, verse 1, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy son, that thy son also may be glorified and glorify thee. Then verse 9 gives us more of an understanding. Jesus says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And that's telling us that the world is not going to be saved. But those souls that are in the world have a chance if they repent. So the key is you don't give up. You repent. Verse 10 continues. It says, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in thee. My brothers and sisters, even though we know there is a household of the faithful, Jesus created all humanity. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believeth in him would not perish and have eternal life. That's key. Verse 15 continues, I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should protect them from the evil. And remember what the psalmist says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thy rod and thy staff, they're with me. Okay, Jesus and the Holy Ghost, those are the two comforters. God sent Jesus first, and then Jesus sent us another comforter, the Holy Ghost. That is who we lean on in time of trouble in this world. And that's why we should not give up. Because of repentance Jesus gave us, we call out to God in his name. And he completes the thought, Jesus' prayer, in John chapter 17, verse 20, when he says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's telling us that Jesus is going to protect the faithful and those who respond to the faithful even more so. But you got to remember that Jesus created all of humanity, so all of humanity has a chance for repentance. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that Jesus said in the garden, Father, let this cup pass from me, but not my will be, thy will be done. And Jesus has given us an example that even in that instance, he did not give up when he prayed, but he said, God the Father's will be done. And that's an example for us, that even if we're in our darkest hour, we should look up to Jesus, look up to the Father God, and said, Father, if this could pass from me, let it pass. But not my will, let thy will be done. Okay, now before we go to the next instruction, we're going to pause for a break.
See, brother, it doesn't matter what you're going through. All right? Sometimes there are trials. There are temptations. Sometimes there are difficult days. Persecutions. Hard times come. The crisis of life can come. But when that is happening, you hold on. Don't run away. Don't complain. Just hang on. It only came to pass. Just press on. It will surely pass. Jesus said to them at his arrest, this is your hour and the power of darkness. It was for a moment. It came to pass. When it was over, the glorified Son of God was out there. Hallelujah. So you may go through difficulties. You may. You may be giving to God and giving your offerings and sowing seeds and being a wonderful partner, and suddenly you lose your job. It can happen. There's nothing in the Word of God that says that cannot happen. It can happen. You could suddenly lose all your money. It can happen. But all the money you have there is not all the money that belongs to you. When the difficult days come, don't act like, did I make a mistake? Oh God, why is this happening to me now? I don't know why. And then you hear, if you're a Christian, this will never happen to you. It's not true. Something can happen, though you're a Christian. But no matter what happens, you are still a victor. Because the circumstances of your life will never describe the quality of your personality. Though you go through the water, you shall not be drowned. Though you go through the fire, you shall not be burned. He said 1,000 shall fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come nigh you. Why? Because your spirit is preserved. He said, in your patience, possess ye your souls. In other words, remain confident. No matter what is happening, they may carry you and put you in the dungeon. It doesn't matter. They may bind you hand and foot. It doesn't matter. They may despise you, ostracize you. It doesn't matter. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah, Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're going to the next instruction, 140, and we're going to turn with me, if you will, to the, to Psalms 103. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalms 103, verse 1 through 5, and verse 20 through 22. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as we read the Psalms. Bless the Lord God, O my soul. That's the instruction I want you to keep in mind as I read these verses to you. Bless the Lord God, O my soul. Psalms 103, verse 1 through 5 says it on this wise. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Now, David is getting ready to rehearse to Israel about all the benefits that you get from blessing the Lord with your soul. This is what he says. One, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. That's a benefit. Who healeth all our diseases. Another benefit. Who redeemeth our lives from destruction, another benefit. Who crowneth us with loving kindness and tender mercies, that's the fourth benefit. The fifth benefit, who satisfieth my mouth with good things, so that my youth may be renewed like the eagles. And to complete the thought, verse 20 and 22 says, bless the Lord, ye angels, that excelleth in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. And bless the Lord, all of his works in the places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So God is to be blessed. That is the extent of what David is telling Israel, and that is critical. And what we're going to do is now go to the book of Revelations to compare and agree. We're going to go to the book of Revelations to Turn with me, if you will, to Revelations chapter 5, Revelations chapter 5, verse 8 through 10. Revelations chapter 5, 8 through 10. And this is what the angel is telling those who are getting instructions from the prophecy of the book of Revelations. Verse 8 says, "And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lord, having every one of them harps and golden vials of orders, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth forevermore." That is the reason that we should bless the Lord. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that the recognition of the Father, his Son, and his Spirit, the Holy Ghost, is the ultimate adoration toward God. We must realize that because God is three in one, that the characteristics, that of the Father, the characteristics, that of the Son, the characteristics, that of the Holy Ghost, has to be part of our worship and praise and our blessing to God our Father. That's what I want you to get from this instruction. Okay, let's go back now to Psalms 103 again. We're going to take another instruction from Psalms 103. We're going to be looking at verse 8 through 14, and this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the verse or the verses. This instruction is, "The Lord God is," and this is David again rehearsing to Israel, telling Israel what the Lord God is from his inspiration. And this is what verse 8 through 14 says. "The Lord God is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. The Lord God will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust." And that is what the Lord God is. He is supreme. He reigns over all. And he gives us what we need. And he is, it's identified in what David said to Israel in this Psalms 103, 8 through 14. Now what we're going to do is go to the book of Revelation, and we're going to go to Revelation chapter 22, and we're going to see what, again, it is said in this prophecy at the end of time, Revelation chapter 22, verse 13. This is what the Spirit says to the church. "And behold, I come quickly," or this is what the Spirit says to the church, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. God is all in all." That is, he is omniscient, he is omnipotent, he is omnipresent, he is all in all. And that is what we should recognize. The Lord God is. And that's what this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. That the Lord God is creation, period. If you can wrap your head around that concept, that the Lord God is our creator, and we should worship and praise him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. And that's what I want you to get from this instruction. Now, let's go back to the Psalms 103 again. We're going to look at another instruction, or take another instruction from 103. And this is the, we're going to look at Psalms 103, verse 19, verse 17, and verse 18. And what we're going to do, I want you to keep in mind this particular instruction as I read the text to you. What God has prepared for the faithful. Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, you got to understand that God has prepared for all of his creation, for all of his humanity. He will reward according to our works. And those who are faithful will receive the better reward, those who are not faithful. In fact, Solomon says that God will judge all works, whether good or evil, and he will wage out accordingly to that. So that was taken from, it wasn't verbatim, but that was taken from Ecclesiastes 12, verse 12. And what I'm going to do before I continue to complete this instruction, we're going to take our final break for the evening.
Hey, John Maxwell here. Today's Word on Minute with Maxwell is grace. It truly is one of my very favorite words. When you think of the word grace, if there's another adjective attached to it, it's the word amazing. And the reason we talk about amazing grace is because grace is amazing. Now, I'm a person of faith, and so when I think of grace, I think about forgiveness. I think of having space in my life to be able, through God's care and grace and kindness, to overcome and to be forgiven. What I would encourage you to do is not only be grateful for the grace that you and I receive, the blessings that we receive in life, but I would encourage you to become a grace giver. Maybe the best thing that I could ever do for you, or that you could do for someone else, is to extend grace to them, to forgive them, to give them another chance, to turn the other cheek, to walk the second mile. I think that there is probably no higher calling than for us to be grace givers to others. And I know this for myself. There have been times I've really messed up. And what I needed more than anything else was not correction. What I didn't need is a lecture. I just needed somebody to say, it's okay. You're forgiven. Let's move on. So today I would encourage you to take this word grace that is truly amazing and extend it to someone else. Make a call that perhaps you haven't made for a while, or get into a conversation perhaps that you haven't had for a while, and extend grace. I will promise you, when you are a grace giver, you experience for yourself personally an abundance of grace. I promise you that. Thanks for being with me today on Minute with Maxwell.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's complete this instruction. What God has prepared for the faithful, that is very significant. This is what David rehearsed to Israel in Psalms 103, verse 19. He says, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Verse 17 says, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto the children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. So what Solomon or David is telling Israel, that the throne of God is prepared for us, or for anyone who keeps his covenant and doesn't forget to do his commandments, and that his mercy will ensure those who fear him, that this will be accomplished. Now what we want to do is compare and agree. We want to go to Revelations. Turn with me to Revelations chapter 2. And this is what the Spirit says to the church. This is what God has prepared for the faithful. Listen, my precious brothers and sisters. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. It says, he that overcometh, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Meaning, this is what God has prepared for the faithful. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Verse 11 again adds to it. Verse 11 says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Verse 17 again continues, the Spirit speaking to the church. This is what God has prepared for the faithful. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saying, he that receiveth it. And again, more to come. Verse 26, it says, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works until the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I have received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. And again, more to come, my precious brothers and sisters. This is what God has prepared for the faithful. In chapter 3 of Revelation, chapter 5 says, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Verse 6 says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Verse 12, again, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Now, this is what God has prepared for the faithful, my brothers and sisters. And this concludes the thought. Verse 21 says, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I have overcome and am sat down with my Father in his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. That is critical, my brothers and sisters. This is what God has prepared for the faithful. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. Life eternal, life everlasting, life forever with him is what is our ultimate goal. But during the interim, those promises that I just read in Revelations, those are the ones in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. We need to make sure we take advantage of that, my precious brothers and sisters. That's what I want you to get from this instruction. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go to Psalms 104. This time we're going to look at verse 1 through 5, Psalms 104. And as I read the text, what I want you to do is pay attention to the instruction. The instruction is God identified what he does. This is telling us, God telling us what he does. And this is what David said to Israel in Psalms 104, verse 1 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honesty, with honor and majesty, who coverest thyself with light as with a garment, who stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the cloud his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire, who layeth the foundation of the earth, that it should not be removed forever. Those things identify the greatness of God. And what we're going to do now is go to our New Testament complement. We're going to go to the book of Revelations, and we're going to see how it is put in the prophecy in the book of Revelations, chapter 15, and we're going to be looking at verse 3 and 4, chapter 15, verse 3 and 4. This is what the book of Revelation says, comparing and agreeing. And they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. My brothers and sisters, this is how God is identified. He's identified through his works, through his ways, by his judgments. Keep those in mind, my precious brothers and sisters. That's key. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that in 6 days, God created his ID. And so we know who he is, even if we don't recognize him. What he has done speaks for itself. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. And through the rest of the scriptures, it tells us that from the foundation of the world, all of this was put in place. This identifies God. And that's what I want you to get from this instruction. Okay, let's go back now to our instruction 144, and we're going to look at Psalms 104, verse 6 through 20, and this is going to be a little lengthy because of the instruction itself says a description of some of what God does. Now, this is a description of some of what God does. This is what David rehearsed to Israel, and it's significant, and this is what it says. Thou coverest it with deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At thy rebuke, they fled. At the voice of thy thunder, they hasted away. They go up by the mountains. They go down by the valleys upon the place which thou hast founded for them. Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. He sendeth the springs into the valley, which run among the hills. What David is doing is almost verbatim giving illustration of what God's description is. They drink to every beast of the field. The wild asses quench their thirst. By them shall the fowls of the heaven have their habitation, which sing among the branches. He watcheth the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, and herb for the service of man, that he may bring food forth out of the earth, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. Again, he's giving verbatim some of the things to illustrate to Israel what God, description of what God does. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon, which he hath planted, where the birds make their nest. As for the stalk, the fern trees are her house. The high hills are a refuge for the wild goats, and the rocks for the conies. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knoweth his going down. Thou makest darkness, and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. We're looking at 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6 and 7. So this is what we should keep in mind today. When I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. God is the exception to the rule. If God does not do it, it does not happen. That is his major description. He gives the increase for everything. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that God, through Jesus Christ, is the author and finisher of our faith and our eternal salvation. That, my precious brothers and sisters, is the coup d'etat, all of what it should mean that God is. And now this completes the lesson for this evening. And as we are about to sign off, the host and I want to thank you and bless you for your participation and encouragement. Good night.
for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I hope you were blessed by our program. Please join us every Wednesday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Good night.